Your employer is definitely not going to walk in one day and go, you know what? You should leave your job. I don't want you to work for me anymore. And I would rather go through the ambiguity of replacing you and you have a business opportunity, right? Than you stay for working with me and not get rich, right? I mean, don't wait. They're not ever going to do that. No one's going to ever come give you the amazing opportunity. You will create the best opportunities.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's Steve Larson. Welcome back to another episode of Sales Funnel Radio. It's been crazy busy the last like 3 weeks. It's been too busy. You know, I don't mind being busy, but there's a threshold, you know. I am today actually putting together, I'm speaking at the 2.0 launch, the challenge that's going on right now. You know, they're re-releasing 2.0 and I'm excited. I think I'm Annie Grace and Garrett White just went today. I can't remember, or yesterday. I can't remember who's going today. And then I think it's Christine Morrell and then myself. And then I think Damon John's on Friday. So it's fun, but I mean, it's a pretty big lineup. I'm excited about that. So that's one of the speeches. I am doing that in 2 days. And then there's these funnel deep dives that I got asked to be a part of as well, which I'm really excited about. Perry Belcher and I think Dan Henry are before me on Thursday. And then after that, so basically what they're deep dives on a certain funnel type that Russell likes us, you know, our model. And so each one of us are going through our topic for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. And it's great. Like, think about the strategy, how powerful the strategy is. Basically, what they're going to do is they're going to use these individual speeches to attract a certain audience. And then at the end of the speech, it's like, hey, you want this funnel type they're talking about? Go get our thing called ClickFunnels. Like, that's genius. That's integration marketing with the Dream 100, like to the T. And notice that he's using it as a launch method. Like, how powerful of a lesson to the rest of us. That's amazing. So basically, so he wants me to come teach my affiliate model because I got a really epic, unique way that I do affiliate marketing and still do it. I haven't talked about it that much lately, but I certainly will. I own affiliatemarketingmasterclass.com. It's a really long URL, but it's a really cool URL. And I would love to do something with it soon. So anyway, so I'm going to come in and teach my affiliate model. And at the end, they'll be like, hey, you know, go get ClickFunnels, which I think is really kind of it's awesome. It's a neat way to enter the scene. So just bringing in like a lot of bigger names, you know, a lot of influencers and you know, that'll be cool. And then the third thing that I'm doing this week is I get to facilitate. And so all the top affiliates for ClickFunnels are coming to a mastermind and I get to facilitate that mastermind. So that'll be fun. So I'm excited. I'm going to be completely open with you right now. It's Tuesday. I'm doing these speeches starting on Thursday and I haven't started at all. I've done a lot of brainstorming and brain dumping, but now it's time for me to organize the thoughts. So I have the day for that. I've had several ask why I prepare so much for speeches and it blows my mind when someone doesn't. Like, what you're going to say is, think of it like a book. You wouldn't write a book like kind of, you know, without really writing the book. You're going to think through the topics. You're going to organize it. You're going to do lots of, you know, there's going to be an editing. Speeches are no different. They get immortalized, especially depending on who you do them for. You know, so it blows my mind when someone doesn't prepare to go on stage. Like, I can't even fathom that. So, plus, I'll tell you that most of my epiphanies come from stage prep. Like a lot, there's two places that I really get most of my epiphanies from: stage and interviews, or like, you know, creating content like this. So it's like content or stage. That's really it. And whenever I prepare or I'm starting to put together them, oh, wow, look at this new realization. Or wow, there's a pattern right here. Wow, I didn't realize that we could shortcut a ton of work just by doing this. Like, that all comes from whenever I'm doing stage prep or, you know, content prep. So like today, I want to do this episode. Let me get into the actual topic here. I want to do this episode today to answer a question I just got from a friend she sent me a message last night, and I'm kind of helping her figure out her own product. She's in a situation that I think most, obviously, if you're like a true entrepreneur, you get paid by yourself, and that's it. But there's a lot of people who want to make the jump to being an entrepreneur, and specifically, I want to talk to you. So I got the question last night. I've had this question not that frequently, but I wish I had it more, or ones like it. The question was, will I ever get rich working for someone else? You know, as an employee, she said, as an employee, Stephen, like, is that something I'll ever actually, is that a vehicle that will ever make me a ton of money? And for several reasons, the short and probable answer is no. All right. Do people get quote unquote rich working for somebody else? It's a scenario that happens sometimes, but really depends on what you mean by rich, and what rich means to you. There's a big difference between rich and wealth, right? And wealth has a lot more time freedom with it. You could win a lottery and be quote unquote rich, but you're still not wealthy because you still have to manage your money. You still have to, I was laughing. Someone's like, more money, more problems. Like, no. No, that's not a reason to not try to get rich. It's more money, different problems. Right. So anyway, the question was, will I ever get rich working for someone else? Short answer, no. But I want to go through and share why. And I'm sure there's an exception out there with someone like, well, you know, if you were working for Apple when it was made up in the garage and well, that they got rich working for someone. Okay. Yeah. If you're talking about Apple, we don't talk about probabilities and putting cards in our hands, right? Stacking things in our favor. I try to live my life. I love it when exceptions happen, but I don't count on them. Does that make sense? So I look for the most probable outcomes and go for that, right? Being an entrepreneur is risk adverse. If you do it risky, but that's not how I do it. I try to stack all the cards in my favor, remove as much risk as possible. And you do that by finding patterns, not one-offs that are unique. And so I'm not going to ever base, I could get rich working for someone else on this incredibly obscure scenario. Like that's not, so yeah, anyway. So chances are low that you would ever get rich like that. So, I mean, think about this. So I want to go through a few different reasons why and maybe give some pointers if you're like, if you're in that really sucky phase where you're pre-revenue and you don't know if your idea is good and you just keep making funnel or offer after offer after offer and you're like, and you've never really made significant money with it yet, you know, like 100 grand, you know what I'm saying? Like you haven't made like a huge amount with that stage sucks. And I get it. I waded through that thick mud of doubt. It is so intense. I get it. I've been there. And specifically, I want to talk to that category. So think about this. Everyone will, if you work at all, you're going to most likely make $1 million, right? You're most likely going to make $1 million. If you work at McDonald's, you just do the math. And this is before like they doubled the minimum wage recently, right? Beforehand, you would have made $1 million in your life just working at McDonald's. You know, so it's not will I make $1 million. What you're concerned with is the speed of the $1 million. Okay. The velocity of cash matters just as much as the volume of cash. Right. So I laugh. Is this a get rich quick scheme? Hopefully. Scheme is what they used to call offers. It was Claude Hopkins. Claude Hopkins back in the 1800s. A scheme was an offer. That's why they called them a scheme man. A scheme man. That was a good thing, right? It wasn't until, you know, pyramid scheme now has a little bit more context behind why that's that name. A pyramid offer is another way to say that. And so obviously that's illegal, right? But when you think about like schemes, like is it a get rich quick scheme? Yeah, hopefully. And I've designed it that way. Because and this is what I was thinking about when I was working for somebody else. I needed to be a get rich quick scheme. I have 2 to 3 hours every day that I could carve out to actually work on this thing. You know what? Like the high leverage activities that you focus on when you only have 2 to 3 hours a day to work on, that's like working for somebody else is not a negative. Think about how powerful it is. You get experience and skills. You get network. If you do it the right way, the chances of getting loyalty based opportunities goes through the roof. Like, think about what I'm going to go do like in the next 2 days. Think about how many people have worked at ClickFunnels. Think about how many, you know, influencer-esque people like myself, you know, that are associated with ClickFunnels. Why is it that I get asked on certain things, right? Why did I get certain opportunities like this? It's because I've been loyal, all right? And I've been, when I left well. All right, so I'll just tell you. So 2 days ago, I got back from a funeral, actually. I grew up in Denver, in Littleton, Colorado. And that's just the most amazing woman. From my childhood, I called her like my second mom. You know, she passed away, and just deeply. Anyway, that was hard. So I was coming back from that 2 days ago, and from the just in the airport, ran into someone else in this space, and I got asked again about how I left ClickFunnels. This is just in the airport. She was like, you know, we call it the Russell and the Steve way. Like, you don't have to go burn all the bridges, and you don't, right? And you don't. And so that's what I'm saying too. Like, when you go and you start creating a cash flow thing, all right, an opportunity, and make sure that, right, you're building it before you jump ship. Don't do it how I did it. I did it kind of crazy, right? I left with no revenue as a demonstration that I could, that I knew what I was doing. but I really don't recommend that. But you want to create cash flow and opportunities before you jump ship and leave in a way where you don't burn the bridge. I started going deeper into this topic. You know, this just reminds me so much. Like, there was probably 9 months-ish of me working at ClickFunnels where I did not have something I was actively trying to build in the morning or the evenings. And just of my own thing. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I make stuff. I see a problem and I want to solve it and I want to get paid to solve it. And that's what you're doing, right? When you're an employee, you're really selling your time. You know, you're not really selling. You are the value, right? You haven't created about, like, it's like when people ask, like, you know, I got to get really, really smart to get paid a lot. It's like, well, if your time is the vehicle for you delivering value to the market, yeah. But if a product, a service is the vehicle for you delivering value to the market, that scales, right? you literally have a revenue model in your life that does not require you. That's awesome, right? So I jumped online and I was looking around at other people that asked this question, just reading some forums, because I think it's a fun question to ask. And I was reading some forums about, like, hey, so I was talking, will I ever get rich working for somebody else? And there's a, I think it's Reddit. Oh, no, it's Quora. But there is a Quora forum that I was reading about this. And it was just fun to see people's responses because they were all across the board and all of them just as emotional as the last, you know, the internet. The first thing that I read was this comment by someone who had a bachelor's in economics and was a financial engineer. And so I was like, all right, someone with some credibility weighing in here. You know, we're not voting on what truth is with some of the other comments you see on the internet. All right, so we got someone credible here. And this person validated exactly what I was saying. He said, you'll never get rich working as an employee because of the nature of wealth and the difference between wealth and income. Right? Money isn't wealth. I love that they said that. Money isn't wealth. Right? They said the salary that you earn is a portion of the value you add. The salary that you earn is a portion of the value you add. And I want you to think about, like, how we all understand offer and value, right? Which is a little bit different than the rest of the world does. We understand value from a deeper context. That value just means usefulness. And so if your usefulness to the marketplace is just your time because you got to go work for someone, that's fine. But the straight economies of scale of the fact that, you know, if you want to take home $1 million, you most likely, like, I didn't take home $1 million until I had made $3 million, because that's how finances work, right? I always laugh when someone's like, oh, did you cross the two comma club? Well, how much did you keep? I'm like, that's a stupid thing to try to jab at. How much did I keep? I kept market standard margins. Come on. No one makes a million and keeps a million, dummy. It's such a stupid thing. How much did you keep? Have you ever read a freaking financial sheet? Do you know what a P&L is? You're never going to keep a million when you make a million. That's crazy. So, but think about that. To take home, to profit $1 million, I had to cross three. That means I was at like a 33% margin. That's actually really good. That's a standard margin. McDonald's fast foods, they're at 6. Do you know that's like the industry standards to make 6% margins on a restaurant. 6%. You're bringing a dollar in and keeping 6 pennies. What? The model matters. Model matters, right? That's why when I left, I purposefully was trying to sell something that was like mid-ticket, high-ticket, recurring revenue, mostly information. So it was largely my cost of goods to sell it was really, really low, you know? And so that's why I did it like that, right? So think about if you're going to go sell if you want to take home $1 million in a year, right? You're probably going to have to sell, if you're just in a standard business, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 million to take home $1 million. Now think about what that really means, how many people you're actually going to have to sell. If you have a $7 trinket, the reality, right? The probabilities of you making a ton of money selling a cheap thing it sucks. Like, I'm not a heavy e-com guy. I've made several awesome e-com funnels and they're great. And, I have an e-com. I do e-com, right? But I don't use it strategically in my method, in my model for the expectation of getting fat rich on it. I use it as like a front end. I use it to get leads. I use it to spread brand in my face, right? and so the same thing is with like, think about a book. If you're going to go sell a book, most people don't write a book to get rich from the book. They write a book to get rich from the opportunities that the book will bring, right? It's a similar thing. And so if you got one shot to go make a whole bunch of cash or try to replace your income that you make from an employer, I do not ever suggest that someone would do something cheap. Mid-ticket, high-ticket, or recurring, right? Something where there's more stability in the cash through recurring. Mid-ticket is where I started. If I had started over, I might have gone straight to high-ticket though. So think about that, right? And if you're like, all right, if I'm going to take home $1 million, I got a 3 to 5 million is probably what you got to sell in a year to take home $1 million. Man, it's going to be so much easier to sell to people who are rich, who are already frustrated, who have money that they're looking to spend to solve a problem that is, you know, mid to high ticket or recurring. You see what I'm saying? Like, that really starts to shorten the options you have for what you sell to leave your job. I find that entrepreneurs see too many options, and I do too. It's a blessing, but it's also a curse. And so the question of what should I sell? What should I sell? What should I sell? Haunts most of us, because it's not that we can't see what to sell, it's that we see too many things that we could sell, right? So what I'm trying to give you is some lens and some filters that you can use to cut away the options that just fountain into your head all the time. So when I was leaving my job, when I knew I was going to, I left in a way, right? I gave a lot of warning. After saying I was going to leave, I spent 4 more months there. And I got to tell you how grateful I am that I did that, to help train the next person coming in and to help put, you know, a few more funnel processes in there and try to really replace what Russell and I were doing. I mean, I really worked very hard in my exit. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have senioritis. I worked my face off up until the very last day, minute and second. And I'm very proud of that. And that set the stage for, I wouldn't have done the one funnel away challenge. That was after I left. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have done like a lot of those opportunities. Two comic club coaching, and now I just asked to facilitate the Inner Circle. I'm in Category Kings now, and I'm gonna facilitate, be one of the facilitators for Inner Circle.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
So excited about it. Like, that's awesome. None of those opportunities. And it had very much to do with leaving well. And it is extremely possible, very important. Like, the world's really, in terms of relationships, a small place. It's an even smaller place when you're a business owner because there's not that many business owners in the world. And so if you go leave in a bad way, right? Or you leave and become a direct competitor to the business that you were serving, like, that's not going to be it. Like, look what I've gone out and sold. I haven't gone out, and I'm going to talk about some touchy stuff here in a second, right? Like, just buckle up, okay? Leaving to go start your own funnel business is strategically one of the dumbest things, in my opinion. Like, that is... It, like, look what I did with the skill set. I didn't go out and I'm patting myself on the back because that was freaking hard. Okay. And there was a lot that I had to go through with that behind the scenes and political tic-tac-toe a little and trying to make sure that I always stay strategically complimentary, never competitive. Right. And this comes from a marketing principle that I used in my exit. It is the speed of marketing is so much faster. You can make far more money quicker. Learning how to align with existing noise rather than create new noise, right? And I've given the example in the past that this is like standing on a street corner. Let's say you got a new offer and you stand on a street corner and just start making new noise. Will that work? Yeah. I mean, eventually people are going to start taking note of the fact that there's someone screaming on a street corner and they're probably going to start talking about it. More people will show up. My guess is you would create a little market like that, right? That's what red ocean, blue ocean means. You're standing on a street corner. No one's there. You got to create an offer and a business and noise, like the marketplace itself, right? So I think it's much faster to align with the existing noise that's in a marketplace. But that's also true if you're working for somebody else and trying to figure out how, like, to take appropriate advantage of the opportunity. I aligned with funnel noise. I did not go make a brand new funnel build. I will never do that. That's crazy. But I do want my own ClickFunnels type thing. And I'm looking for it. And I think I found it in the last week here. I've been looking hard. It's been 3-year search, man. I have looked at, I know a lot of you guys are like, what? Why haven't you started the software yet? Because I've been doing my freaking homework and I've been learning like crazy about a lot of, you know, different aspects of business. And so I'm just prepping. We've been going really hard on YouTube. It's been awesome. It's been so fun. And getting leads of people there with that. So anyway, it's easier to align with the existing noise and look to see the moves that I am going to make here soon that continues to do that, not just with ClickFunnels, but with the whole funnel marketplace. Right? And when you start thinking like that, where you don't have to go tear down someone else's tower to make yours big, you end up living in a marketplace where you do not have to compete in order to sell. I don't. Right? Think about that. It's on purpose. There's a really good book called The Science of Getting Rich. I've talked about this in a few of my events. I love this book. I read this book when I was actually learning funnels. One of the ways I got ClickFunnels, because I was broke. So one of the ways I got ClickFunnels was by selling other companies on the power of ClickFunnels. And then I'd be like, cool, here's my affiliate link. Go get signed up. And so I'd get paid as an affiliate because I sold them on it, right? That's great. But I would log into their account to build stuff. And that's how I would build. And if I got one person on the top tier of ClickFunnels, that affiliate commission was high enough to pay for the bottom tier service of ClickFunnels. And so that's how I did it. One affiliate paid for my account. Right. So that's how I did it. But there was so I was doing that for this company, and I went to this guy's event and I filmed his event. And then I would go back and I would edit videos. I didn't know how to edit videos, so I was watching YouTube videos on how to do that, learning ClickFunnels, building his stuff after filming his event. And so I was on this trip back. This is while I was in college. I was on the trip back from filming this dude's event from a rented camera, right, from a public library. I didn't have a camera. I was poor, right? And so I went and I rented a camera from a public library. It didn't exactly tell him I was going to leave the library with it or take it on a trip. I will admit that. And then I brought the footage back, handed the camera back, but I kept the SD card, took it to the public library, just walked across the hall because I didn't have a nice computer. In fact, my laptop that I have right now is still the one I traded funnels for in college. It's a good laptop. I've done that a ton, guys. You just get scrappy and very resourceful when you're poor. And that's not a negative. And I'm bringing this up also because if you're working for somebody else, this is inevitably something that pops in your head. Crap, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. Get resourceful, right? That is, you're living your future hook, man. That's great. That's super. Lean in to the discomfort. That's the fastest way through it. Don't circle around the outside. It's one of the biggest lessons I've learned in the last 5 years. Okay, this discomfort, you turn your ship straight into the center of that storm, right? For anything in your life. Anyway, so there's a point to this. I was coming back from one of those trips and I was reading this book. I realized that this is when I was in college. And what I was realizing is that unless I took my education into my own hands, I never would really go where I want to go. A college professor couldn't exactly teach me exactly what I want to learn, right? College students are always saying, I only want to learn what I want to learn. Then do it. All right. I took the Stephen Larson University just as much as I took, the actual university I went to. All right. And you don't ever get out of that one. And so I was studying like crazy the real stuff that I wanted to do. And I had two methods for doing it. One was study and the other was application. So I was just, and I figured that if I could start teaching it to other people, it meant that I knew it well enough also. That's a really cool lesson that I learned from a mentor like 20 years ago, 15. I'm not trying to get so sidetracked on this podcast episode, but I hope you're following where I'm going with this. I'll circle it all back in a second here. Okay. So I was reading that book, Science of Getting Rich, on the way back and doing my own study. This is besides all of my homework in college, right? And every topic that someone gave me, doing my own work, right? And that's where it's really going to come from. Okay. It's going to come from that. It's not going to come. No one's going to knock on your employer is definitely not going to walk in one day and go, you know what? You should leave your job. I don't want you to work for me anymore. I would rather go through the ambiguity of replacing you and you have a business opportunity, right? Than you stay for working with me and not get rich, right? I mean, don't wait. They're not ever going to do that. No one's going to ever come give you the amazing opportunity. You will create the best opportunities. They're not going to be handed to you. And so anyway, it's like the fourth, by the way. So let me come back here. Maybe I'm just getting this good stuff out for the speech tomorrow. This is half the reason I'm doing this, by the way. So I was reading this book, Science of Getting Rich, on the way back from filming this dude. And the book said that there are two ways to get rich. You can get rich through competition, or by a creation. And I never realized that that was, there's two major methods of revenue. That you can get rich through competition or by creation. And so if I wanted to leave my job and compete, there are those that have done that. In my opinion, it is the short road. Look long-term always in business. Your name and reputation matters tremendously. Tremendously, right? That's like the second real currency, especially of the internet business, but of any business. And so what I'm looking for is I don't want to compete in the methods that I leave my job under. I want to create. I want to find ways to align with the existing noise that I'm learning how to create inside of the business. And if you're like, look, Stephen, I don't want to do anything. I want to go sell a product completely unrelated to the title, you know, to what I do as an employee. That's fine too. Absolutely. But if there's an opportunity for that where you can align your business with your current work, if possible, right? Read non-competes, right? All that stuff. Disclaimer, but like understand if there's a way, even with skill sets or something like that, like look how I've done that. You know what I did is I was like, all right, I work in funnel land, right? What are all the skill sets that funnel land can be applied to? Is there an opportunity there? Right? If you want to get a better outcome, you really have to get good at asking good questions. And so I changed the question from what can I use funnel skills in to what problems does funnel land create? Right? What are the, just the exact same way I do to an offer, I did to a market. What are the problems that my employee-based work is creating that this business does not solve, that I could go create the solution for and be complementary to the business I'm leaving after I've left it? Does that make sense? That's it. And what was powerful about that is it's still how I like to position offers now as a whole in general. I like to find a way to, right? If you're going to compete in a marketplace, you need to compete with the very top dog of that market. Okay. If you're going to create something that's complementary, you need to make something that's complementary to the very top dog in the market. Don't make a business strategy based off of what the B players are doing in a market. Always the A. But I don't like to do the ones that are competitive. I want to do something, right? Because you enter a bloodbath. And it's, since it's faster to align with noise than compete with it or create new noise, right? I want to find a way to align with where I'm working. I want to find a way to align with the job that I've left. And that those are all the mentalities that I use behind it. So the economies of scale make it that you literally will probably not make millions working for somebody else, right? I mean, does it happen? Rarely. It's the exception. And I don't like exceptions. I like rules and principles. And so I'm not going to base that. So I was like, I'm going to leave. I want to get rich. And you got to be honest about that when you leave. No one's going to come give you the opportunity with it. Right. And so I would master some kind of one thing that's mid ticket, high ticket, or recurring revenue. And what you're looking for, and I'll say this is the final kind of like ending here. It's a longer episode. This is helpful for me though, because I'm going to use this in some of my speech. Thank you, everyone. What you want to think about is you want to master a sales model. Master a sales model and master pitch volume. Those are the two things. After you've chosen like high ticket, mid ticket, or recurring revenue, which honestly, like I would start with the recurring revenue or the high ticket thing. You can start with a $1,000 webinar. I mean, that's great also. That's a good balance between volume of sales and volume of money. It's a good way to start. I still like starting with a webinar. $1,000 webinar. It's the best, in my opinion, still. Yes, despite ads. I'm doing a webinar tonight that has 180 people registered, all from organic traffic over the last 3 weeks to the page. I just keep organic traffic rocks, my friends. It is worth learning. But what I'm saying is what you want to do is master one sales model and one pitch volume model. What does that mean? Choose to sell through a challenge. And don't do anything else till that makes a ton of money. Or choose to sell through a webinar don't do anything else, still makes a ton of money. Or choose to, does that make sense? Choose one sales funnel type and master it, along with the campaign that goes with it. Every funnel has a campaign that goes with it, or it just sits dormant. So master a sales model. Master a pitch volume model. Meaning pitch volume is the greatest way to control your income when you're working for yourself. Pitch volume. How awesome, how often am I asking the marketplace for money? And if it's not often, that's the reason why, like, increase your pitch volume. That's the one KPI that really I've noticed. Like, you can go get better. You can go get better at conversion rate. You can go get better at, you know, I have another episode on that, but it's mastering pitch volume. So to cycle this all back, will I get rich working for someone else? I understood the answer to be no, but how I left mattered, and what I created next really mattered. And I could align with the existing noise, solving problems that the company that I worked for was creating. Every company does that. I mean, I'm not throwing rocks at ClickFunnels or anything like that. Like, every company creates follow-up problems. Every solution has two follow-up problems at least, right? And so can I do that? And can I learn a sales model and a pitch volume model? So my model was to do a live webinar every week. And I did that for like the first 3 months. I did it 17 times before I truly automated and let it go. I should have continued it maybe, but I started seeing that I had really nailed the positioning of it and I didn't want to mess with it. And then after that, it was all about just dumping more traffic in the front. So I was taking profits and just, that's really when we actually turned on ads. I didn't really turn on ads for the first like 3 months for that first webinar. 2 or 3 months in is when I was like, all right, I'll turn some traffic on for ads. In my opinion, if you can't master organic, ads are even harder. If you can truly control traffic, it's awesome without having to buy it. Yeah, works like crazy. All right, my friends, I prepared for this episode, but I probably prepared too much. But hopefully that was helpful and hopefully gives you some frameworks on how to think about what it is that you're creating. And just go pitch frequently. Master one model and you'll be amazed how imperfect pitching, like the cash flow that's associated with imperfect pitching, will astound you. It'll astound you. The saddest business opportunities I've ever seen die are the people who've bought from me and then they get mad that they have a 5% conversion rate, so they never pick it back up again. And I'm like, well, your first funnel is going to be the suckiest, right? It's always going to be that way. But too many people are looking for these one-hit wonders where it's like, so master one sales model. Master how often you pitch it. Understand that pitch volume is what you're trying to do, not one pitch wonder, one pitch to a million. Like, that crap happens, but not till you're down the road a long way. Like, so pitch volume on a single sales model. That was something I could tangibly run to while working for somebody else. So I just mastered the webinar model. That was it. And did it every week. All right. Long episode, guys. Hopefully it's helpful, though. Hey, and I got to tell you how cool it's been to meet those of you who have listened to my story and where it's gone and where it's taken me and all these lessons and such. And then you come back and a lot of you have told me you've left your jobs. Or not that you have to leave your job. If you love your job, you can stay your job. That's great. But if you're trying to make like sizable income on the side or whatever, that's just been cool to meet. I mean, it's literally been thousands of you now. I mean, I can't tell you how honoring that is over the last 5 years for me to be meeting more and more of you who are like, hey, I listened to the show and your journey's nuts. Season one was really my journey to 5 million, from broke to 5 million. And then I did a few other shows for a while. And then season two is trying to go from 13 to 100. So, which we're on the way. So get out there, try it. If you, have had any level of success with the things you've been listening to from the show, I definitely see and love whenever you guys tag me in it on social media and just let me know what the show has done. Like, that would be so huge. If you're not in my group, it's called Capitalist Pigs, the Capitalist Pigs group. I'm diving pretty heavily into kind of the monthly cadence of what that group's going to be doing. So I'm excited to roll that out sometime here in the future. But there's about 16,000 of us in there. 16, 17, something like that. Anyway, we'd love to have you. Go to Capitalist Pig. Search for that on Facebook. It's our group. Anyway, awesome, guys. We'll see you and hopefully enjoy the episode. Bye.
You guys know the Get Rich Give Back is the slogan of the capitalist pig. Because money doesn't change us, it also amplifies us, right? It's a magnifier of who you really are at your core, which makes it a really good teacher. So, considering everything going on, there's nothing like passively offending whiny, small-brained socialists, and it's very easy to do. Number one, go get your capitalist pig shirt at capitalismswag.com. Number two, put it on. And then number three, watch the face melt off of anyone with what I call tiny brain syndrome and those who hate healthy economies. If you can't tell, I am vehemently against socialism. And it's because the capitalist pig message is a call to remember to use your own willpower to carve your own path, right? It's the ultimate ownership and self-fulfillment. We have a capitalist pig shirts, hats, sweaters, stickers, more. We got tons of stuff in there now. There's never been a time like this in human history where the sickness of entitlement is spreading. I believe in work. I want the grit, right? There's a serious need for all of us to open our mouths and start talking about this more and say that we choose to have choice. We choose the struggle towards the goal, right? Rather than to be coddled and sedated into socialism. Yes, I'm very passionate about this. If this is resonating with you and you believe the same, go get your capitalism swag at capitalismswag.com. I honestly believe that God would rather me be rich than poor, right? I can do more with more money. Money's not evil. It's quite literally cotton. Capitalism fosters personal power and growth. And so I say yes to the grit of all of it. If this is resonating with you, please stand with us, open your mouth more, and go get your swag at capitalismswag.com.